I'd like to read some verses from Ruth, if you'd like to turn to the book of Ruth, and it's chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 1. It's just a selected few verses, just to get the thoughts of what I would like to say this morning. And we read in Ruth, we read this. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, names of his two sons Mahlon, Chilion. They were Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives, the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And then there arose, we'll go to verse 15 to read on. And Naomi decided to go home, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. The people, your people, shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, of aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left. That was Naomi speaking to Ruth. So they went until they came to Bethlehem. Praise God. I'd just like, while I've read those few verses, to talk about the beginning of the book and to ask a question, if I may. And the question is this. We read of a famine. What do we do? How do we react in the time of famine? Or related in other terms, when adverse circumstances affect our lives. For it is true that this does happen in our life, that certain things will rise up and affect us. But I want to notice this, firstly, that in the house of bread, there was famine. For Beth in the Hebrew is house, and Bethlehem means bread. Bethlehem was the house of bread. It seems a contradiction, but it's not. There happened to be a famine there. And verses, as we've read, Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons leave Bethlehem to go to Moab. Moab was a country outside of the land of promise. They went, in other words, into a land noted and full of idolatry, just the opposite to where and what they knew, and the living God of their people. Just the opposite. So then let's just consider Elimelech for a short while. In a sense, this is a negative way, but let's just look at what he did and why. First, we see he left behind his inheritance. He left behind the promised land that was given to him and his people. And in effect, therefore, he took himself out of the providence of God. It was not that he was poor, he was not in poverty, for he was well connected. His family was in direct line from Nisan. If you want to know about that, 1 Chronicles 2:10. He was Prince of Judah. He was the leading man of that tribe. His son was Solomon. Solomon was there when Joshua conquered the land and given the inheritance. Solomon then, as father of Boaz, we'll read on. He married Ruth. So he was well connected. It wasn't certainly that he was poor why he left. We also see that later on, his land, which he had to be redeemed. It had to be brought back. So there was property that belonged to him. But yet, this is what the man decided to do, to leave the promise and the blessing that God was given, although it was famine, to leave that situation. And the secondly, and probably more important, there was no direct indication from God to go. God didn't tell him, leave it, God give him it. It was his by possession. But you see, what happened there is, he ought to have stayed for it tells us right at the beginning, if you noticed when we read, there was a man. Why the emphasis on the man? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it was his choice. It was his choice to leave. Beware then, that well-known saying, the grass may look greener on the other side, but is it? Where are we well off? Spiritually, where do we ought to be? Where ought we to be in our living for God? What he requires of us. It's too easy to go out when we ought to stay in. If God has given us no direct designation or direction, then stay. Stay where you are in whatever situation you're in, unless God gives direct direction through his word where to go. Stay with God. Never step out. Never go out away from the blessing, the promises, the providence in God. But this is what this man seemed to do. God's word tells us in Matthew 6:33-34, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek thing first, all that God has. It says, and all these things shall be added unto you. It says, man, although it was a famine, shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to what the Lord has to say. And then secondly this, and this in a way is a bit of a tragedy, but this is what happened. He took his family with him. He didn't only step out and leave his inheritance, all right for him, he took everybody else with him. You see, his decision directed and affected their lives. God-given responsibility demands rightful consideration all of the time. It must be to and for the benefit of those God has given us. You see, he had no assurance to what lay ahead in a foreign land where he shouldn't have been. Be careful then of what our decisions and actions may bring upon others. It's how it affects others as well as ourselves. That's why spiritually we have to consider every situation that arises. Why is this? Why does God allow this? Why am I going through this? Do I need to be doing that? All considerations need to be lined up and as God directs us. Be careful what our decisions and actions may bring upon others, close to us, in our relationships, both natural and spiritual. For we are accountable to God. Who was he accountable to? He took his family out of the promise and blessings of God because he went himself. And that's what it says. And you know, that's Elimelech. But as we go on, another question arises. Should Elimelech and his family have stayed and endured the famine? Why? Others did. Not everybody left Bethlehem. There was the time of famine, but they stuck it out. You see, sometimes there is a real difficulty and situation that is hard to understand in natural terms. But think in spiritual terms, this was the land of promise. This was God's blessing. This was Israel. This was the house of bread. It wasn't always going to be a famine. There are times in our lives when these things happen. But others stuck it out, but he didn't. He went out when he really should have stayed in. That's a question to consider. You know, we need to really be weighing up where we are in the economy and providence of God. Until the time of blessing returns. Yes, a difficult choice, not easy. But you see, retrospect proves that it was the wrong one, because there's a tragedy here. Like us, you see, in times when adversity arises, how will I react? How will we react? Remember, no one is impoverished in God. Consider his promises. I will be with you wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, whatever difficulty arises, wherever or whatever it is. God has said, I will be with you and I will see you through. God will take us through whatever that difficulty is. Never presume a better place exists without God, or it doesn't. There isn't. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. I am over all in control. And then we see, secondly, in the land of idolatry, which was Moab, there was disaster. There was disaster. How vital it is for us to be in and know God's will. For us in our daily living, for him. How dangerous it is when out of God's purposes. Why? Because it proved to be deadly. Because in the family, tragedy struck. There was death and despair. Elimelech died first. Naomi left a widow. The two sons died. Our two daughter-in-laws were widows. Naomi then, and I want us just to consider Naomi now for a short while. We've looked at Elimelech. We've seen the negativity in what we shouldn't do. But let's look at what God wants us to be and what we should do when we trust him. Even in a difficult situation, not easy that Naomi was in. A desperate situation. She wasn't only destitute in a foreign land. What else could she have out of everything that she knew was nothing? But yet she had one thing. The Spirit of God moving in an individual life that knows the purpose and will of God, irrespective of what the situation is. Here is someone that knows the Lord God. Here's someone that loves the Lord. Now, in this position is great strength. Even in adversity, disaster, death, and despair, there comes an inner strength that only God can give. And this brings out in Naomi's life something which is very, very special in her situation. She's bitter, but not necessarily against God, against her situation. For she declares in verse 13 in chapter 1, she says this, "It is exceedingly bitter for me to her two daughter-in-laws, for your sake, the Lord's hand has gone out against me." What she was saying, she's in the wrong place, in the land of idolatry. Now this illustrates to us, to the believer, the world. The world is a most deadly place to be in, outside of the promises of God. What we need to consider is this. Stay close in God's word. Stay true to what God says. Just stay close to God. Be what He wants us to be. Live your life a spiritual witness, overcoming all manner of adversity. For you see, with Naomi, it was a manner of living that made all the difference. Although she was where she was, maintaining your testimony, our testimony in the world. For it says this in verse 6. She hears, good news arrives. God has visited his people. You see, in the house of bread, right, there may be famine, but it doesn't last. It won't last. It's God's promised inheritance for his people. It's good news. God has visited his people. Prosperity has returned to Bethlehem. And what does she say? This is encouraging. This is something that stirs her spirit. This is what moves her to make some marvelous statements. You see, what she says is this, I'm going home. That's it. I'm going home. I'm going to leave this place. I'm going to leave all of that's surrounding me. That's not right. I know it's not right. She knew it. So it's going back home to where the providence blessing of God was. Back to the house of bread. You see, when I think about this, that was where she belongs. Because what I think here and what I see is Elimelech was head of the home. See, in Bible days, it was the man that really counted. It was very rarely that women took a place. They did in God, like Deborah and other ones that the Spirit of God took hold of. You know, they certainly had their place. But you see, it was a man's world, very definitely. And that's the way it worked. Because you see, what I think here is, Elimelech, right, was head of the home. And Naomi probably had little, if any, choice in going to Moab. That's why I said at the beginning, there was a man. That's what the word's telling us. It was his choice. He took everybody with him. He was the head of the home. His responsibility, his choice. Poor Naomi went with him into where she didn't want to be, possibly. She didn't know what lay ahead, like everything else. She was just taken there. But you see, this is the providence of God. This is the blessing of God. He had it all in hand. For you see, he didn't lose sight of Naomi. Naomi never left sight of him. What you have is a reality in God and the Spirit of God that makes you what you are, and him will keep you wherever you are. Whatever you do, it's not going to make a difference. Whatever happens around you, that's what keeps you. That's what keeps us. The blessing in the presence of God. And you see, her spiritual character shines through. For there's nothing in this land of Moab for the believer. Just like in this life, there's nothing in the world can ever compensate, replace that for the blessing of the living Lord God of Israel. For to us, it is our salvation, and that's important. So we see then Naomi, her experiences in life in Bethlehem of past blessing. This is important to remember, because she has this, a remembrance, apart from the famine, of course, of this conditioned her to reflect overall on how good God was. But God wasn't going to bless in Moab, not surrounded by idolatry. She was leaving for Bethlehem in the land of promise, where God had said he would be everything and all to her. So, how advantageous life is when knowing and experiencing the Lord God in a real and lasting relationship. Remember, even in adversity, the weight of it, of remembered blessings in and with God, outweighs them all, outweighs these present situations. Why? Because God is true. God remains the same. We have, in retrospect, the blessing and encouragement of knowing in the past that what God has done, he will do now. What he does now, he will do in the future. For God will and cannot and will never change. He's the same God. Thank God for that. We change. Circumstances change. Famine comes. Blessing renewed, but our God remains the same, and he brings us through. It outweighs them all. Whatever happens to us, the blessing of God in our life outweighs everything else, because he's so true in every situation that we'll ever be in, that we thank him and give him praise. But can it do any other? Because he's a great God. And he's a loving Saviour, and he's a faithful friend, and he's the one there at the end. But for us, the end is the beginning. For out of time into eternity, God will take us as we trust in him. He is faithful, the word says, that promised. As I said, eventually all of the circumstances disappeared when blessing returns. There's bread in Bethlehem. Never give in. Never give up. Keep trusting in the living Lord, whatever happens. Today, knowing Jesus as our Saviour and Lord in a living relationship transcends all and every trial. John 6 and 33. Jesus said, "In me you shall have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But notice," he says, "take heart. I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. You've got me with you. You're an overcomer in God, because he has you will. That's a sure promise which he gives. And then we see Naomi is this, with this. While in the land of idolatry, which was Moab, Naomi, by her spiritual manner of living, speaks into the heart and life of Ruth, our daughter-in-law. This illustrates, again, the world. It's a picture for us today of being a witness to the truth of this life. Time doesn't permit to go into what I want to continue, but just very quickly about the testimony. Many, I was reading in the last century when missionaries went out to the Pacific Islands. They came to one island, ministered, and found that the people on the island knew the Lord. It was so easy, there was a revival within that island. And when asked how it was, the people had said through translation, when they talked about Jesus, it was said, well, we know about him. You don't need to tell us about him because he's lived with us all of this time. So they asked, well, what do you mean? So they took him to an unmarked grave. No name, just a grave. A man not known, yet known to God, who had went to that island and lived a life that won them to Christ. So easy when the missionaries arrived, because they were telling him he lived his life the way Jesus Christ lived his. He won those people to the Lord because of how he lived. And that was just an example, and this is similar to Naomi. You see, Jesus saves from death, giving us everlasting life. Ruth is a widow with Naomi in the same situation. There's bereavement there. There's no real future, no prosperity where they are. So Ruth declares her desire and willingness to depart Moab for Bethlehem. She casts her lot, everything in, with a mother-in-law. Into the unknown she goes, yet known. Why known? She'd never been to Bethlehem. She'd only heard about it. She'd only seen through Naomi what a great God they served because of the way she lived. But you see, it was known. Why? Because she heard and seen through Naomi, through her life and the way she lived, the reality of what it meant. She knew without being there because of her life lived for Christ. Well, for the Lord God, but for us, a life lived in Jesus Christ. So Ruth goes with Naomi and they stand at the crossroads of decision. For Naomi gives her the opportunity to go back. But you see, here Ruth proclaims one of the great acclamations in the Word of God. If we read verses 16 and 17, which we read earlier, this is what she says. Entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge or stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do to me more so also, if anything but death part you and me. And when Naomi saw that she steadfastly minded, determined to the uttermost to go with her, then she left off speaking to her. Notice verse 19, how lovely a picture. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem. So really, in conclusion, what we see is this. Ruth turns her back on the land of her natural birth, that's idolatrous, and journeys into God's land of promise to receive a spiritual one, a spiritual birth, not their natural birth. Now for us today, here's a picture of our spiritual rebirth into a full salvation of knowing Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. So read on through the book of Ruth to see the complete trust in God that faith obtains. God honours those who trust him. Make that step of faith out of the land or this world of sin and idolatry. Experience the multiple blessings faith will bring of salvation. A life given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get home, read the rest of Ruth completely, right through. See how God blesses those that trust in him.